Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here, the white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
All right, welcome. I am back live once again, somewhere in Kansas, about to pull over so I can set this table for tonight, and I will have a co-host, my queen, Tamisha Renee, will be joining me, as well as others, but she'll be helping me co-host. I'm going to make my little opening quick. Thank you all. Thank you one and all for listening. I had to take a couple of weeks off, just working some things out, getting some things together. Life continues to happen no matter, you know, the revolution continues, but life does as well. Just glad to be back. Thank you all my listeners online. Thank you all my listeners from overseas. I appreciate you all in Russia. I'm still hollering at y'all. Do the right thing come Friday. I see y'all got a court date set. Let our sister go. It ain't that bad. It really ain't that bad. But, okay, I just wanted to throw that in there. I've been kind of following that story and trying to keep up with it. Like I say, to me, it's about black first. I don't really give a damn about none of that other stuff. My movement is black first, period, point blank. That is the movement, black first, because we let too many other things intervene with progress. And that's why we are stagnant and continue to be stagnant and non-progressive as a unit, because, excuse me, we have continuously failed to work as a unit. And I keep saying this, and I'm going to say it right now. We need each other, all of us, working and moving in the same direction. For those of you who are listening online and might want to be a part of tonight's conversation, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. And it's like I say about progression. And far too many times we make progress and then we allow certain influences to halt that progress. So, like I've said before, if enough of us were working together in unison, we could do what it takes to get our sister Afrin over there in harm's way. Because that's where she's at right now, under Putin's thumb. And I've said this numerous times, they don't care about our women no more than this country cares about our women. Period, point blank. And like Brother Malcolm said, and I just wanted to play that clip to kind of set things up, because yes, we have got to be protectors of our women, leaders in our community once again. Tonight, I did a couple of shows where I talked about weaponizing our children mentally, spiritually, and physically. And I did a couple of shows on that and had some real good dialogue on that. And I ran across a story. Tonight I want to talk about what we can do to leave this world in a better condition for our children. Tonight I want to talk about sacrifice. You know, what we really and truly need to do so our children can see, know, and learn what needs to be done in order for their survival. And not anyone else. I'm not worried about nobody else right now. And tonight I'm talking about us, our relationship with our children, what we as the adults need to be doing in order for our children to be able to survive. Because right now we're not even living, and we deserve that more than anybody else they're letting in here. And nobody else's children are being gunned down. And what prompted me to do this show tonight is a story that I heard that happened on May the 18th. The young man was 13, and when I ran across this story on Young Turks that I follow on YouTube, and it hit me and reminded me of the Tamir Rice case. And this 13-year-old, they have not released his name because he's a minor. But the story goes that the police spotted a car that he was in with two more individuals in the front seat. The car was supposed to be stolen. And the driver and the passenger hopped out of the car, ran. The 13-year-old boy got out of the car with his hands up, and you can see on the video, they shoot him. Just gun him down. No gun in his hands, hands up. Several witnesses said he had his hands up. Like I say, then they drag him away from the gas pumps, they say, in case it might have exploded. Well, if no more shots are fired, everyone should be safe. There were more than a dozen police on the scene, and out of a dozen police on the scene of an unarmed 13-year-old black male, young Prince, one jackass found it a necessity to shoot and hit the young man in the back. He was paralyzed immediately, and it messed up his esophagus. His family says that the doctors have said that his chances of walking again are dismal. This is why I do what I do. Because, see, nobody else suffers and loses their seed the way we do. No other race has shed tears, and I'm not talking about black-on-black crime. Let's get that understood right now off the bat, too. We already know about that, and if we could be left alone long enough, we could correct a whole lot of our issues. But my focus is how we are targeted by this system and allowed to be gunned down. And this young man, the COPA is what they call it in Chicago, and I'm guessing it's kind of like their internal investigation or whatever. They're going to try to cover it up, of course. They'll do the least that they have to do. So that's why I wanted to do tonight's show, because I'm concerned about our next steps. And I'm feeling like the next steps are going to be the most crucial steps. And the first one is you get tired of hearing it, but that is major. That is the only way that we will be able to survive what's coming. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist. And I know with whom we're dealing, and with and at any cost, this country will implode itself before it loses power. Power will definitely have to be taken in an organized fashion. And see, none of us are safe, our women nor our children are safe at this moment and juncture in time. And conditions and situations are only going to worsen as long as we sit idle and remain silent on the crucial issues. And there are several. And I'm wanting to, matter of fact, I'm going to open up the Queen's microphone now, because I really am wanting just, you know, some good dialogue, and not only just to hear myself talk, but to really get some good dialogue going to where maybe, just maybe, you never know within these conversations where real solutions may start to come. And real solutions are what we need right now, because, like I say, this conversation, I'm concerned about our future. I'm concerned about the future of our children, because like in the past couple of shows I did a few weeks back concerning weaponizing our children, now I want the conversation to be about what is it that we as the adults can really sacrifice, can really do. And just in my opinion, I say unity, and then I say within unity, rebuild family. That's always something that I key on, is rebuilding family, because that structure is to the development of a child's mind. A child needs to see that. He needs to be around that. He needs to experience that harmony within the household, because believe me, our children will face more chaos out here than any other. Look, like I just spoke on, May 18th, another 13-year-old boy gunned down in Chicago. He's nameless because he is a minor, but nonetheless chased by a dozen police. And our children are not safe. This young man was hands up. Numerous witnesses stated that his hands were up. He was no threat. He turned around towards one of them punk coward cops, and the cops shot him in his back, paralyzed him, and also, as I stated, messed up his esophagus. Just another Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin situation that continues to happen on our watch, me included. And to me, it is really about us putting ourselves second. Now is not the time for selfishness. Now is the time for selflessness. And we need to show our children what honor and respect is about, and how to get it, and how to keep it. And we need to teach our children how to work together, the importance of working together, and not falling in the same traps that we fell into, and in some cases continue to fall into. And that's why I say it's important to have our children mentally, spiritually, and physically prepared for what's ahead. It's no time for sugarcoating. And then it's no time for us to sit down on the job. It's no time for us to feel as if it is safe enough for us to let our guard down. So, like I say, let's talk about really some real things that can be done, that we can do, that we can start doing. And then that way our children will see us doing what we keep telling them needs to be done. You know, what can we do to leave this world in a better condition for our children, period? Joining me, I have your mic open already. Queen, if you want to jump in, and I will be quiet and let you have the floor. Welcome, and thank you for co-hosting.
Yes. And thank you for asking me to join and co-host tonight. This is definitely a excellent subject that needs lots of attention, in my opinion, because, you know, it's just coming to that time in this day and age, you know, where so many things are changing, so many things are happening, and we really do need to just be on alert. We need to be really paying attention. I know, you know, this is something that we've discussed time and time again, but, you know, as time goes on and as things continue to progress in the direction that they are going, you know, we really do need to be on our P's and Q's about everything, like 24/7. And, you know, when it comes to our children, you know, our future leaders, me personally, I feel like we really need to teach them like the old school ways of survival, because I feel like that's the direction things are starting to go. You know, I know this is something we talked about the other day, how it's time to start learning how to live off of the land, you know, with all the supply shortages that are taking place and just all these different changes that are happening in the world. You know, we really do have to get our focus there on old school survival. And, you know, we've kind of were thrown out to the wolves per se, you know, when we were coming up, but we learned along the way. And the kids of today, you know, they've had things just kind of handed to them. So now we definitely got to switch that up. And because we just don't know. Things are about to start getting worse and worse and worse. And I think with that mindset, you know, we'll be able to show them and they'll know going forward, you know, just how to be able to make it out here, because it's about to be dog-eat-dog world. I mean, it really is.
Right.
I mean, I kind of feel like it's like that already, but it's about to just get 100 times worse. So, you know, our kids and grandkids, yeah, they're going to need to know how to, you know, take care of themselves and protect themselves out here in that type of world and that type of environment and that type of atmosphere, because that's where it's going. That's where it's headed.
Right. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I know that, you know, in the schools nowadays, you know, they don't teach or they barely touch on, you know, economics and just really how to, you know, budget your money and about home buying and, you know, all those different types of things that, you know, us now in our age group, you know, those are things that we dreamed about achieving, you know, and
right.
We don't know if our kids even are even thinking that far ahead. Some may be, but a lot of
right.
us just are living day to day.
True.
You know.
I want to put something else on the table, too, while we, my brother's on the line. He got his hand up. I want to throw something else out on the table, too, while the conversation is flowing and let you kind of dig into that. And then I'm going to open up my brother's microphone so he can jump off in here, too. In the wake of the shooting in Uvalde you know, residing in Texas, that was kind of bothersome to me. And then I thought about the safety of our children, and don't get me wrong, but right now I'm really focused on my people, because ain't nobody else focused on the suffering of black men, women, and children, and that's
exactly.
my focus. That's where I am, you know. So
mm-hmm.
in the wake of that, I immediately thought, with all the hate that Trump is still stirring up, you know, how possible is that to happen? You know, at a school that a child that we know may go to, you know, how long before it will, you know, affect someone close to us, you know, per se. Not wishing that on anyone. But as long as we don't take action as a people, those incidents will continue to happen. And don't ever forget that we are always the primary target, you know. So I'm going to open up my brother Kevin's mic, and I'm going to let you comment on that particular aspect. And I say that to say this, because I always say that it's important for us to start building our own so that we can educate our own, and then not only that, provide the safety that's going to be needed as these days, weeks, and months progress. Because like you said, yes, with this food shortage and all that's going on, it is a perfect recipe for chaos. And we have to be ready to defend ourselves at all costs and by any means necessary. And I'm going to let you comment
absolutely.
On that. And, brother, your microphone is open. After the queen finishes, you can jump right on in. And thank you for calling, brother.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, too, you know, that all these things that are happening, yeah, they are starting to happen too close to home, too close to home. It's really unfortunate that, you know, those kids experienced what they did at that school, and that now, you know, these are things that they're having to teach these kids, you know, how to be safe in case an active shooter is on the premises. You know, that's really no way for anybody to have to live in fear and always watching your back and looking over your shoulder. But that's just where we are nowadays. And we definitely got to teach our kids that. And I just feel like more importantly, like you said, you know, we got to look out for our own. So, you know, our communities definitely need to come together. So that we can be looking out for one another, because, yeah, nobody else is looking out for us. So we have to be the ones looking out for us. Indeed. And what is it going to take to bring the masses together? You know, more incidents like that happening, or, you know, continuous killings of our people by, you know, the hands of the law or by the hands of anybody other than, you know, somebody within our race or our communities, and nothing's being done to them, or they're getting a slap on the wrist or a slap on the hand, or I don't know what else it's going to take for us to really start to come together. But that needs to not happen, you know, for more and more lives to be lost in order for everybody to wake up and start to come together. Now is the time.
Right. Brother, your microphone is open if you want to jump in. And welcome. Like I say, thanks for calling in, brother.
No, my brother, I appreciate you, bro. Peace to you. Peace, Sister Tamisha. How are you?
I'm good. And peace to you, Brother Kevin. How are you?
Still trying to outpedal the persecution to prosecution path that we seem to always be. But I want to answer one of the questions you asked earlier on, Melvin, about solutions. But in order to find a solution, you have to look at what the real core issue is. And I hate to say it, but I think I can, just because I'm part of it. It's numbness. Back in 1978, I took a girl to the movies. We went to the movie theater. Actually, I took her and her friend. We all three went to see a movie. The movie was Halloween. When we came out of the movie theater, we're walking, because it was at Eastland Mall in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we were, you know, I was given a little bit of freedom. We had some there. So we were out. We were walking by the mall. We had saw the movie. And the movie, you know, it did what it was supposed to do to somebody who wasn't used to seeing that kind of stuff. It scared the hell out of us a little bit, you know. We outside, we walk in, actually because her brother was going to come and pick us up. So we were walking to where we had agreed to meet him. Car comes wailing by us with some white people in it yelling out niggas, you know. And now remember, we're 13 years old at that time. The sad thing was what scared me more that night wasn't the movie. it was what happened after we got out of the movie. Because even though the movie scared us like it was supposed to, what its intent was, the true fear for me was that we were actually walking outside unprotected as children, and these obviously grown white people had decided that they wanted to call us niggas. And that was what I went home with. My mother had asked me, she said, how was the movie? I was like, it was okay. And she's like, well, what's wrong? You look like, did it scare you? I'm like, no. And I told her what happened.
Right.
And what she said to me, and I'll never forget it, was, well, that kind of thing is going to happen. You kind of just have to learn how to deal with it. And as much as I love my mother, that's the worst fucking advice I ever got. So I have to agree with what Sister was saying about how the difference in the way that we, you know, the generational teaching, that's dissolved. That's dissolved. You know, we've been trying to cope in a situation that we didn't create for a long time. And we watched it evolve around us to a point of violence to where even our children aren't safe at the schools that we're forced to send them to.
Right.
It's making me look at where I'm failing as a parent, or failed to an extent with my own child. And that was in spite of my best efforts to, you know, prepare her for the world.
Right.
But then I had to look at how prepared for the world was I, and how prepared for the world was my mother and her mother.
Right.
So the more I thought about that, the more I started realizing that, you know, just like our education system, just like working for a living, just like this political shit, all of that, system is teaching us how to fail. And we're passing them same messages down to our children. Because we can't tell them how to succeed if we don't know how to. With that, I'm going to use.
Real good points. Real good points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that scenario that you put out there about the movie, because I went through growing up in East Texas was also an experience in itself. And we used to experience the same kind of terrorism walking home from the movies, you know, from Dollar Nights on Tuesdays, until one time we set up a trap for them. And when they got close enough to our side of the town, well, we had set up a trap for them. I'm not going to incriminate myself, but we didn't have to worry about them no more after that. And I say that to say, you know, I know a lot of it, because even my great-granddad, you know, used to tell me how, oh, no, you can't talk to them like that. You can't say that to them because, you know, that's what they were taught, you know, to the point of what you were saying, brother. You know, they had to get off of that sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? They did not know how to read, you know. And I feel like, too, is they're trying to, you know, fear that back into our children. You know, put that same fear to just think about functioning as a normal person. Because, truth be told, we do know more crime, murdering, or anything else than any other ethnicity, but we're always labeled the worst. You know, and I think, too, is just part of rebuilding and rebranding ourselves, because now we really do have that ability to connect. We just don't use some of this technology at our disposal. you know. I think then too, far as our reconnecting with the young is connecting to those that are closer but younger to us in age. And then too, not only that, you always have your grandchildren around, so instill that in your grandchildren for sure. You know, I listened to what brother said, and I know there were a lot of times that I felt like as a parent I failed. I didn't do my best. I didn't sacrifice enough. But then too, I try not to beat myself up about things of the past and things that I couldn't control. But we still have that guilt that, you know, we want to be able to give out with children, not so much as the material things, but things like culture, wisdom, knowledge, who they are, you know, the truth of the matter, because the truth really will, and especially with these generations that are coming up now, because they use that technology to their advantage. And just imagine sparking the mind that can really use this to the advantage of the movement. And that's why I say, too, there's so many aspects that can be done to progress us without being boots on the ground, you know, without being in harm's way and having our children in harm's way. Because our children, one thing about the generations I'm seeing behind us, they are ready. And we need to get control of them, just like our parents had control of us. You know, and it's, it's all mindset.
Right.
And just like this system can gain control of that mind, where we can recondition and regain control of that mind. It's about what we start doing as a unit, what we start doing as a community. Because if we start the adults, if we start doing what needs to be done and doing it the right way, our children see it being done the right way. Therefore, they gain wisdom. Not only that,
absolutely.
And bring it, and like I say, rebranding ourselves, because this system is going to always deem us the bad guy, the big bad black man and the bad black woman, and just whatever, and negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why I just feel like it's truly our decision when things start to change. And I yield on
that. Most definitely.
Yeah,
most
but see,
definitely.
I don't mind that. I am the bad guy. I am the bad guy. And every cracker out there who want to call me a nigga better look at that before they do it.
Right. I mean, truthfully speaking, Brother Kevin, I mean, you know, maybe that's what we all need to turn into, the bad guys. So
goddamn
leave us
right,
the hell
queen.
Alone. You know,
right,
I mean, that's
queen.
Really, you know, where they force our hand to that point now. And so that's the mindset that we need to start shifting to, for real.
Well, see,
and,
my thing,
you know,
is
we're
not a bad person who enslaved and murdered have the audacity to deem me a bad person because I didn't do it to them when I had the opportunity. And what bothers me is our children watch us punk out every day. No matter how enlightened we are, they watch us have to count out. If a cop pulls up behind you while your children are in the car, they gonna watch you turn into butter in that fucking seat before you actually stand up to these people. And you're doing it as a survival technique, not just for you, but for them as well. But they don't know that at that time. So if they're watching us be soft at one minute and hard the next, what message are they getting from us?
Right.
true. I'm starting to wonder if I damaged my child by playing the game. That's what I'm wondering, if I damaged my kid by playing the game. My kid came up when they have active shooter drills in school. I ain't never had that.
Right.
And
we've never had that coming
up. There was plenty guns still with them crackers. There was hatchets, machetes, all of that stuff was there.
Yeah.
None of the surplus stores were way more popular than they are now. And the surplus stores had live grenades and all that other shit in them, too. So I'm wondering, you know, because to me, the biggest mind fuck that I feel we did was we allowed the system to tell us how to fight the system.
Yeah, and definitely to our disadvantage.
Huh? Yeah, they gave us the rules. How do we win?
Mm-hmm.
If all the rules that we're playing by, none of them we came up with to protect us.
Definitely.
The only time rules
yeah.
are in place is to protect the integrity of something. What have we been protecting the integrity of is what I'm trying to figure out.
Definitely something gives us something to think on for real, because all that is spot on.
Man, don't hate me for being right. But it's true. And I'm bothered by that, because that gets in the way of any message we are trying to get through to our children. We all, especially as black parents, want our children to be prepared to deal in a harsh world, and we got to work twice as hard as a white parent does with their children, even if they're poor, uneducated, whatever. The fact that their skin color is going to be somewhat of an advantage, and it's not even a guarantee for them, okay? But it's more of an advantage than we have. It doesn't come in as a minus.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show up as a minus on the paperwork. For us, it does. You know, I always wondered, why do y'all ask that question on job applications, what ethnicity are you? What difference does it make?
Yeah, right.
What difference does that make if you just need someone to do the job?
Yeah, because that shouldn't even matter.
Know, it shouldn't matter, right. But it does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because then they can act as if, well, we're progressive. Now, this other company over here is nowhere near as progressive as we are. You know, they're going to treat you one way or this. No, you're all treating us the same way. It's just some of you are doing it with a smile and some cookies, and the other ones are doing it with harsh language and bad treatment.
Right.
And I'm more trying to figure out, how are we fucking up our children? Because until we stop doing that, they can't progress forward.
You're right about that. That's because like I was saying earlier, I can remember, and it's not things that I have regrets for, because I've always been the kind of parent that felt as if my time was more important than my money, because those conversations and just that camaraderie of being together. And there were a lot of times that I wasn't even able to do that. You know, being a truck driver for 21 years, you miss out on a lot, you know. And I had one of my cousins ask me a few months back, you know, we were just talking, and he said, we were talking about time and just how fast it's moving. He was like, you know, why you think time is moving so fast? And just out of nowhere, I told him, like, because we out here moving fast. And then not only are we moving fast, we're being forced to move fast to keep up with the bad pace. And now, you know, things are getting even worse, you know, the shortages and just the uncontrollable violence. Now you have the situation that's come about with the Roe v. Wade, which to me is another whole subject because, in my opinion, straight up, a woman should be able to do with her body what she wants to do with it. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to just leave it alone. And that, to me, is a law made to try to curb the deficit of a race that's dwindling. And I'm done. That's my, you know, two cents on that.
Yeah.
That's really a woman's issue to me, definitely. But, I mean, we, like I say, we really fall into that trap of I'm not gonna say even I'm not gonna even put it at as fear, because I've been checked on that once, and I totally agree with what Sister Kia said. But just that feeling of being defeated, and there's no way out. There's, you know, and we haven't even really tried to get out yet. And then I really truly feel like within these next couple of generations, the minds, and not only the minds, but the unity will be there that will be needed. And not only just with the black children, but with even some of the whites that are willing to sacrifice themselves for the cause too, because there are some out there. I don't condemn them all. Really, I condemn them that are in power. I condemn those that have the money, because they're the ones that create the conditions that we have to, that we reside in. And that's why I say it's crucial for us to really understand our economic power. And like we've all said, you know, Sister Tamisha said, and Brother Kevin mentioned it too, just the economic aspect of it and the things that we really don't get as young children. You know, we always told to go outside, keep your ass outside, don't bring your ass back in here until I call for you. You know what I mean? So there were a lot of things that we didn't get coming up, and a lot of things, like you said, Sister, we had to figure out along the way. You know, we had to figure out as we progressed through it. And two, now that we are knowledgeable, which is another thing that we tend to do, and I don't think we do it intentionally. I think it's just ingrained in us not to teach others because of that DNA that may have been passed down through slavery, where, you know, if you can read, you better not teach no other nigga to read. You know, that'll get you lashes or death. You know what I mean? So I think, too, that mentality is still there, not unknowingly, you know, unknowingly is still resides in some of us, because, you know, whenever one of us do get it, you know, how many of them actually do contribute and bring others up with them? You know, it's not many, because they've been told, they've been directed. And see, that's why I say it's important that we start keeping our talents to ourselves and using what we have to build what we want, so that our kids won't have to bend over backwards for this Uncle Sam and his damn system.
Yeah, and have to work, 100 times harder than the white kids to be
up definitely,
at the same,
cause it's,
playing level with them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt. Much, much, much longer than working a 9-to-5. It's a 24-hour job, black in America, trying to survive.
Is.
You hear me?
Yes, it most definitely
is.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you, you know, as far as, you know, we've got this technology and the kids that are coming up nowadays, you know, they're smart and quick with it. So, yeah, that's key right there is using this technology, you know, to our advantage as well, you know, to try to get the upper hand in this survival of the fittest. 'Cause that's, you know, where, again, we headed. And It's tough out here, you know, just being able to, you know, teach things to our kids that, you know, we were dealt. Like, we can only teach them what we know and what our parents knew. But, yeah, now we got to get smarter and wiser. And that technology certainly will help with that if we use it right.
Well, I mean, like Brother Kevin was saying earlier too, you know, and I've said this several times right here on this platform, you know, and others, that we do need to learn how to start speaking their language, and we know what
language,
their language is. Their language is power, control, violence, dominance. I'm in power. I got it all. I want it all. I ain't got enough. And what y'all got on this, you know, their whole attitude is greed. And we know who we're dealing with. You know, that's the thing.
Right.
And I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, that's why it's time to really start navigating our way and mapping our way to the top, because that's what we have yet to do. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to yield. But nobody in their right mind truly wants a physical confrontation with us as a race. I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think anybody is truly ready for that. And I think that would be the gelling moment. If somebody really, truly just started rolling through different cities and black people started dying, I think then people would really, but you can't wait too late. You know, you have to be ready. Don't get ready, you know.
Yeah,
we've got to really
be ready. That's right.
Be defensive. Exactly. And then we've got to instill a defensive mindset into our children as well. And keep them out of Uncle Sam's army, because we truly need those soldiers. And like I say, nobody wants a physical confrontation with us working collectively as a unit, because nobody can outthink us. And everything that we do it damn well. And when we have to get it right, we get that shit right. And we do what needs to be done to prevail. Because we are a resilient people. And I've said this several times. All of us right here on this line, all of us listening, we come from a resilient bloodline. That bloodline
knew
what to do to survive. So they would not only just physically fit people, they were mentally fit people as well. And I've said this numerous times, and I'm not going to bite my tongue on it. When it comes to us as a race, nobody is more superior. And that's why we are the most hated, because everything we touch, like I say, a lot of these little shits that they have come up with, like the Midas touch. Yeah, because everything that we touch, we master it. Don't nobody else do that. Everything we touch, yeah, it does pretty much produce money for that white man. You know what I'm saying? Because he's the one that had access to that patent office. Oh, yeah, this nigga got the Midas touch. Everything he make, it, you know, and I'm just saying, I'm just, you know, all these little old sayings come up from somewhere, you know. And so many of our ideas were taken, and we looking right now in modern day times at the wealth that was created off of the backs of our ancestors. So all I'm saying is if they could do it, we can do it, and then do it for us and not be ashamed to do it for us, and tell our children not to be ashamed to do it for self.
Right. Totally.
And
I don't want to be at the top of anything. I just want to be able to motivate in a world that was created to house, feed, and everything else, provide everything that we all need. I want to be able to walk. I want my kids to be able to walk in it. and not have to worry about the bullshit that we have to worry about now.
About.
That's it. I don't care about being at the top. I don't care about role reversal with these crackers. I don't care about none of that shit, because if we had the power, we would be just as corrupt with it as they are. And that's just the truth.
And they certainly are corrupt people. Mm-hmm.
Because it's in our humanity. It has nothing to do with skin color. Okay? It has to do with the humanity or lack thereof. All I want is to be able to move around and not have to worry about getting shot by some punk-ass cop that says he's in fear of his life. Or when I go for a job, to know that if I get it or don't get it, it had nothing to do with my skin color or my gender or anything else. I want to just be able to be human on a planet full of humans that are not trying to destroy my humanity or build up their own. I just want to live. I've been existing for 57 years. I just want to live.
Well said, brother.
That makes sense.
Yes. Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. That's all I want. I mean, I get it that, you know, we have a right to be angry every day. We have a right to be distressed. We, you know, all of that, you know, we do. And it's all something we all have to deal with. And they've given us a whole bunch of dumb shit to help us cope with it. Drugs, vices of all sorts, food, sex, liquor, porn, all of this stuff they put out there. None of those are solutions. Those are medicines. They're not cures.
And distractions.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the magician's biggest trick, is the fact that people want to see the trick so bad they allow themselves to be distracted. And that's where we are. And that's what we are. And I'm just at a weird point. I don't want to wake up angry. I don't want to go to bed pissed. I don't want to see shit that makes me angry. This is why I got off of social media and shit like that, because it was coming in too fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming in too fast. That's what's killing us now, is the overload of information. I tried to tell people a long time ago, the internet is not the blessing that you think it is. If I didn't know better, I would think that what people want to call the devil actually created it just to do what it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dumb now. But we love to scroll.
Mm. Wow.
True that. True that.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said that better. That's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love the scroll. That's yeah, that's a lot to digest right there, just that last few words. Because
one of my personalities is popping out, and he's the angry activist with no title. He doesn't have no affiliation. You know. He's just angry as fuck, and he's tired too. And there's a point where you just say, you know, enough's enough. I can't be complicit in my own demise anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, my grandmother, she used to say, have a saying, you know, enough is enough and too much is too goddamn much.
Sound like my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it with a switch in her hand. I just hope it wasn't my ass she was aiming at, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, enough is enough. I mean, and it does make you, you know, think like what is truly enough? Because I'm where you at. I'm where both of you all are at. Y'all know me. We talk outside the show.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
We're all familiar with one another. I have always been the radical one as well. I mean, I just feel like you have to position yourself to either win or lose. And I'm tired of seeing us losing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly time to take position. And I'm with you too, Brother Kevin, on that. I mean, it's really about working with the people, like I said earlier in the show, that are truly down for change, no matter the skin color, no matter what. It's just about changing this funky-ass, corrupt, good-for-nothing system, you know, because that's really, truly what the problem is. You know, it's really, I've said this several times, we didn't create the black and white issue, and really the black and white issue is not, it still exists, don't get me wrong, but it is not as bad as it was when our ancestors had to deal with it. And now we can have more control than they had over ourselves. And I just feel that we need to really dig deep within ourselves. And I'm just really trying to find the recipe of what is it going to take, you know, for us to truly galvanize ourselves and start moving in the same direction. And not for the sake of us right now, because at 52, you know, if I got another 52 years, thank you, y'all. But if not, I at least want my granddaughter to, my granddaughters and my grandson to live in at least a better place than it is now, you know.
Yeah,
and then
right,
I really want to instill in them self-pride, because this world and this society is going to do everything in its power to break their pride. That's what this system truly, really does to us. It breaks us down at our essence and makes us think that we are nobody. Like in the clip I played before, you know, the show, who taught us to hate ourselves, our hair, our lips, our nose, and now the world want to look like us. Ain't that ironic?
Yeah.
The world now wants them same big lips and all of that, the big booties
and
all of
that. What's the other part of that problem, though, bro? There's another ad. Don't stop there. The world wants our features, but whose features are we chasing now?
True that.
And I want to touch on
good
else point you said, bro. I want something else you just said, because I hate that term, radical. What's radical to me is to sit still and watch the system shit on you, your children, and everything you love, and you do nothing. That's radical. It's normal for me to feel like I want to change this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. They're radical. They can't put, calling me a radical, it puts me on the outskirts of the town when I live right in the middle of it. We're not radical. We're normal. Those who allow shit to keep happening to them, do nothing about it, them the radical cats, if you ask me. Actually change that, because they ain't cats. They sheep. I'm a cat. I'm a cat. And definitely not no damn house cat.
Yeah.
We're normal to feel angry
about
that shit, because that's how we should feel about it. Because until we get mad enough to really make a change, then that radical shit that they are, that's what's normal. That's why it's easy to get us locked up and silenced and treated like we're crazy and all of that. I get it from my family. I get it from some friends. Oh, man, why are you so angry? Ooh. How do you want that? How do you want me to tell you? You know?
Right.
How do you want
me
to tell you?
Say, why are you not?
Chronologically,
right,
how do you want me
I
to
ask.
Give you that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Patrice O'Neal is one of my favorite comedians. He's one of the greatest of all time because what I liked about him was he gave you some of the most uncomfortable humor in the world. Mm-hmm. And I liked what he was looking for. He said, if there's 10 people in there, I want 5 of them to laugh their ass off and the other 5 to be horrified. And that's exactly where I'm at with it. He's got a little story he tells about, you know, he was, you know, talking about white and black issue, you know, and he had said something about, you know, people hate talking about race, but that he loves talking about race because on stage he can say anything he wants. He was saying how, you know, like if I wanted to, I could just say, you know, yeah, if slavery was reversed, you know, yeah. Say, I'm going to get me the whitest family out there. And Susan, get up there with them big old white titties and feed my kids while I decide if I'm going to sell your husband. I love that shit, but it made them people in the audience real uncomfortable.
Real uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Definitely.
And then he went outside. He goes out to talk to him, and he says to him, you know, your wife's up there feeding my kids right now, right? You know, while I'm deciding if I'm going to sell your ass, Philip. And I was loving it. Shit had me on the floor laughing, okay? Mm-hmm. I know 10 people that I could have been in the room with right then, and they would have been looking at me like, why is that so funny to him? It's very uncomfortable to me. What I love about it is it opens the dialogue. It opens a dialogue because I like it that if the conversation is going to make you uncomfortable, you'll be surprised at how far we're going to get. But if you're comfortable, then you won't even realize we went an inch. My job is to shatter illusions. And to make people uncomfortable so we can change shit, because change is uncomfortable. There is no comfortable way to change anything.
That is so true.
And we got to get out of the European mindset of, you know, we can talk nice until something happens, because they didn't get a goddamn thing talking nice. It took a whole country on violence and kept it and still holding it to this day. But yet they gave us a Bible while they held a gun. Ain't that some shit?
True that. True that. That's why I did that series a few weeks back on weaponizing our children, because we do have to prepare them for a different world than any other ethnicity is going to experience. And not just here in this country either. You know, there are several countries like Russia, Ukraine. Like I was telling some brothers at the barbershop, you know, the reason that Ukrainians are so welcome is because, yeah, they don't like black people either, you know. So, yeah, America will welcome them in with open arms and give them land and money that they always claim they don't have for us to help increase their numbers. And that's why I say we got to start being just as selfish, you know, because we are truly the intellectual ones. We are the true thinkers, lawyers, doctors. We the first to do it all on this motherfucker right here, you know. So that's just my mindset. That and nobody does it better than us, period. I don't, you know, just nobody does it better than we do. You know, let us in, we're going to take it over, whatever it is. If you let us in, we will take it over.
You take it over.
And I just wish sometimes that we would let ourselves in and start taking over each other and caring for one another, you know, and just really just dig back into our true roots of who we are, you know, because we some of the last that experience that village, you know, and you know what I'm talking about when I say that village where you get your ass off of that school bus. You're going to go your ass in there, clean your room up, do what you got to do, do your homework. And then you're going to ask permission if you can go outside and play with your little old friends. And it might be yeah and it might be no. But if your ass ain't looking enough, you better not be out there showing out, because if you do and Miss May across the street see you showing out, that's your ass when you get home. That village where there were several eyes upon our children, keeping
right,
them in line,
right.
You know,
line.
Making sure, you know, that like, I can remember the first time I cussed and got caught. You know, thinking I'm grown and I'm awake. Mama can't hear me. Okay, but, yeah, somebody grown with some ears can. That village where you have that constant threat of consequence, whether mama is there or not, you know.
Or not,
and that's
right.
What we got to get back to instilling in our children. And that's nothing more than simple respect. That's all it is. And it took me a long time to realize and understand that, but that's all that is, you know, simple respect. Something that if you look at today, most of our children don't have, for the most part. They're because they own mama out.
But
you
that's
know.
Because they're not
so that's why
to be children anymore.
That's true too.
That's they're not allowed to be children anymore. That's why. I mean, if they could be children, then they would do what children do. Play. That's what children do, they play. How many areas of this country can your children safely go out and play in? I'll wait.
Yeah.
Right, none.
Sure, got a point there. Sure, got a point there.
I mean, and not
so
only that,
our children,
you know,
our children are feeling some of the same stresses, and they have no idea what the hell is going on.
Right.
And we can't clear it up for them because we're still trying to figure it out. And at the same time, having to prepare your child to go out here and deal in the world, well, what does that take? What is, if you have to spend time doing that, what did that take away from what you could have been giving them?
Right. So, right.
So, you see, that's my issue with this whole mess that we're having to try to sit through. That's my issue with this whole mess. How much damage have we done to our own kids based on us having to motivate in a system that really despises our existence?
Boy,
good.
You know, and another thing, too, you know, when they started telling these kids in these schools, oh, well, you know, if your parents hit you, that's abuse, you can come and tell us, and nothing will happen to you. You know, that sparked a whole different movement, too. And so that's where I feel like the respect started to, you know, get lost within
these children. Yeah, but that's because you have to feed a criminal, you have to feed the criminal justice system. And if all of these kids are behaving, well, who are you going to lock up? If all of these kids are behaving, then you don't have juvenile probation and juvenile court and all of these other things to get them ready to go into a grown-ass person system.
Exactly. That and then systematically removing the black father from the home, and replacing it with itself, you know, when that happened, you know, this, like, I mean, honestly, there have been several things done and put in place to keep the black man and black woman from actually living and functioning in a normal capacity. It is always a challenge for us, whether we are together or apart. And when we are together, they truly hate to see us working together as a unit, the black man, the black woman, a true family, raising children. Because if you ask 95% of white Americans, their thoughts they probably feel as if less than 30% of black dads are even involved in their children's lives. The 100% of the brothers that I know, 100% of them are active in their children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another, you know, misconception that has been passed down, that the black father is non-existent. And like I say, I know plenty of men, and I'm proud to say that, you know, that are active in their children's lives. You know, because that really does matter too, like I say, we've got to put away these systematic games like child support and all those things that some women, not all, but some women use to get back at the black man. We got to start learning how to do what we need to do exclusive of their system. Because we don't need them involved. And sisters, let them men be involved and want to be involved with their children. Don't make it hard on that child because you're not doing nothing to hurt that kid. And it's not
time for us to really start healing.
Exactly. The healing process is going to take a long time because we've been going through terror for so long. It's got to be, like I say, up to us to start turning the tide, because we were a creative generation. And I'm just going to say that because I remember the birth of hip hop and then so many other things that were created by us, you know, and so many trends that were established by us. Just the different genres of hip hop that were created by us. And as always, we don't have any type of ownership of that. You know, and that's why I say it's crucial that we teach our children how to keep their mind profitable for them, their thoughts profitable for them, and not let somebody else take their thoughts, their, you know, hard work,
their
and
ideals,
sweat, tears,
right.
And they own it, you know, because I look at the trend now, you know, sister, we were talking about this yesterday, how more and more of the hip-hop now coming commercialized, more and more, you know, of these corporations are using hip-hop themed songs now, you know. And like I'm saying,
sell their
it's sad.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's sad, and I'm wondering who's really getting paid. Is that artist really, are they getting any, you know, residuals off of that? You know, and that's what I mean, you know, ownership and just taking possession of your of yourself, regaining possession of self, you know, and not always waiting for, you know, a systematic fix that is short term. You know, when it's time for us to start thinking long term.
Short term, long term.
And I said that all that about the hip hop and that was truly our generation. You know, and that creativity, that drive, that power, that all that we use to create that movement is still within us today. And that same energy that we had and created that movement, we can create a new movement. And one that will be long-term beneficial for us, and we can show our children that shit. And when they see that kind of shit happening, they'll want to get involved, because that's what we've got to do. We've got to pique their interest in what's best for them.
Yeah. That's it. You hit the nail on the head right there, piquing their interest so that, we can start a new movement for sure. So, you know, some of these kids, though, they on their own path. But we got to try to reel them back in somehow. That You know, I think about that a lot, and how that may pose a little bit of a challenge, but I know it's achievable, it's attainable. Like you said, if when they see us out here getting it going, then, you know, hopefully they'll want to jump on board too. But as they see, like you said, the tide's turning, you know, that's going to be, I'm hoping, the wake-up call right there.
I rack my brain constantly, you know, what is the recipe, you know, because there
definitely is one.
And like I say, you know, we have never been a lay-down type of people, you know. And no matter what, you know, we always persevered. We always made it through, you know. But then, too, I mean, like Brother Kevin said earlier, and that so hit me because I said this the other day as well, too. You know, you just get tired of surviving and maintaining. Sometimes you want to just live and not have the financial woes, not have them worries of having to worry about somebody hating you for this or that, not have to worry about your children being in danger, you know.
Right.
And I can relate to that, you know, because all we want is peace, you know, and honestly, most people that I've ever asked this question, like, what do you really want as a black man in America, you know? And that's what they say, to be left alone and live in peace. And that is it. That is really what any and every human wants, just to be able to exist and coexist, you know?
Right.
And not everybody is. And not everybody is a contributor to not being able to live and coexist together, you know. But there is an element that is always at work to keep that division, because, you know, that is what keeps that system going, keeping people at each other, being able and produce a certain spirit like now. You know, and just, you know, all the things, all the different things that are going on and that's really the mind-blowing part, you know, and that's like goes back to what I was saying when my cousin asked me that question, you know, the world is moving fast and there's so many things happening, it's fucking hard to keep up with it, you know? And most of it, like Brother Kevin said earlier, it's mind-numbing, especially if you on social media every day. I'm not going to lie, I still do use social media, but I'm not on social media scrolling 2, 3, 4 hours a day like I used to. You know, I use it now just to advertise the show, poetry, something may be on my mind, I may post, but as far as just consistently living
scrolling in that bubble,
you know, giving them more access to what I think, and that's really all you're doing by the materials that you scroll on, that you click on, so that's letting them into your mind. You know,
draining it.
The matrix, you know, and we're all guilty of being plugged into it, you know, at one point in time. Some of us know and learn how to unplug, and we really need to give that power to our children in order for them to get back to a more creative thought process. you know, because that internet has everybody thinking like-minded. You know,
yeah,
there's no real individuality. There's really, you know, everybody's doing the same thing for attention. You know, so
and to be the next internet star.
Yeah, and that truth be told is not the life that it is cracked up to be either.
No, it isn't,
you know.
Because you know you have to keep it up, and it becomes, like you said, draining, and just, you know, meshing your brain. You know, so
and truly, honestly, non-productive because it really doesn't produce anything beneficial, and that's really what I'm on. It's just, you know, being able to tap into long-term building long-term beneficial things that can be passed down from generation to generation, like so many things that we've lost in the past that we are responsible for actually creating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say it's important. Like my great-granddaddy used to tell me, you know, new, get it in your head. Because when you get it in your head, can't nobody take it. And that's what I told all my kids. It ain't about being the football star. It ain't about being the basketball star, the best singer, none of that shit, because the world already know we good at that. You know, we good at that already. You know, we've established that point. It's time for us to start getting back to our true roots, the intellectuals, the thinkers, and the creators that we were, you know, and learning how to tap into that aspect of life. And then not only that, us providing the atmosphere that mentality can thrive in. You know, which goes back to what Brother Kevin was saying earlier. You know, we have to be able to provide a place where our kids can play outside. They can walk in the dirt. They can learn how to plant and grow. They can play out in the streets again safely. You know, they can play hide and go seek, you know, and experience and really free that the concept of a child's mind, you know, because, yeah, like Brother Kevin said, yeah, their mind has to grow up, you know, at 8, they already on a 12-year-old mentality, because that's the fast world that we live in.
You know, that we living in, that's it.
You know, so, yeah, we definitely, we have to take control back and slow it down. That's what we got to do. That's what when my cousin asked me that, I was like, yeah, we can take control back and slow it down, make it to where we don't have to grind so hard just to live, like Brother Kevin said.
Right.
That's all
and
we
to,
want.
And to feel
and,
like,
and
yeah, we're just go,
that.
Go, go. Right. And can't catch our breath some days, you know. Yeah, I am
totally
with you on that.
What pisses me off with this whole social experiment called America is that we really had no real place in it, but yet we were integral to it happening, still are. And I feel bad that the things that we were you know, it's almost like during the slave days where you would have the worst parts of everything and you had to survive on it. I almost feel like we're no better off now than they were then, because we're still being given the worst parts of it and expected to make it work. We're given the worst parts to live in. If we were, you know, two couples go to get a home loan, white couple versus black couple, the black couple is going to get a higher interest rate. It's going to be harder for them to get funding to get that, as opposed to that white family. So we're still, once again, we're being given the scraps. Even in the political arena, you know, the shit that they say says a lot. Trump, what do you have to lose? Biden, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Shit like that. You know, we're still being given the scraps, and we're still trying to figure out a way to make something to eat out of that shit. So I feel like
that's
just because you done threw the lash off
today.
My back and you done took the chain off my ankle doesn't equate to taking my mind out of those mental traps that you put it in.
Damn.
And that's just from a messed up black man trying to figure it out and do the right thing in a cruel and harsh environment.
The other day about, you know, us being thrown the scraps.
Exactly.
And the crumbs.
And just because they're giving us, scraps on a new plate don't change the fact that they're scraps.
Yeah, that new plate don't make them taste no better. No doubt. Oh boy, yeah, that's good. That's good. And that's really too. Basically, we always have taking a lemon.
What are we giving our children? We're giving them scraps, and we're expecting them to produce out of them scraps. We're doing the same thing. We're damaging just like we've been damaged. This is one of the reasons why it's hard to unweaponize what's been happening. And I don't want to weaponize my child, man. My child deserves to be a child. My granddaughter deserves to be a child. Why can't they have that? Can't they have that? We didn't get it. We like thinking we got it, but we didn't really get it. Our parents didn't get it,
really,
and neither did theirs.
True that.
We think it's hard being on point as an adult. Imagine being on point as a kid and not even knowing why you're on point.
And what to do, exactly. Because, different world, like y'all both talked about, you know, just the fact of having to do active school shooting drills, you know, in elementary school. Kids don't really, especially that age, they probably have a concept of a gun, but no real concept of the danger. But, you know, in today's world, times, I take
our
that back because
cartoons.
It's on TV.
They're acclimated to violence, bro. Our kids watch cartoons like we did.
Right.
We got acclimated to violence. It's just that we knew if you jumped off the roof, you know, it's an ass whooping after you heal because you just cost the family money because you got to heal now. And you know better.
Exactly.
You're supposed to know better.
Yeah.
But our kids have been deprogrammed to all of that a long time ago. The consequences of actions and all of that, that's our job to teach them that. But if we're not good at it, how can we teach it to them? Our kids shouldn't even have to worry about, I mean, if you could shoot a black person in the back for just trying to escape an arrest, then how does the school shooter get arrested? Why isn't he just shot on sight the same way? That's the America I'd rather live in.
Just like your mom date. You know, all
I
that
can't,
time passed while all
the church right
died.
Now. I can't hang out in front of a Catholic church right now screaming at the top of my lungs and they let me in with a knapsack.
No. Or an Asian beauty salon or a nail salon, none of that shit.
I can't. It's a lot of shit that I cannot do. The day that I knew I was not an American was on January 6th. That's when what I saw running up on the Capitol was Americans.
Oh, yeah, those are
and
good
I,
Americans.
Obviously,
those are
I'm
good
not
people.
One of them.
Huh.
I've never felt free enough to do some dumb shit like that. That's freedom. I don't have that. I've never experienced freedom, and I'm determined to experience some of it before I die.
Yeah.
This way I'll know what to tell my kids
that?
To look for.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what happened just a few weeks before that, January 6th incident, when the protest was happening, you know, a few weeks before that, and Trump wanted his little old picture with the Bible, and they fired beanbags and gas grenades and shit at the running on
that
up on the Capitol, breaking windows.
That was actually during the summer. That was during the summer.
Yeah, during the summer. But just the whole difference in treatment, you know, because of the cause, you know. And then, what, just 6 months later, Donald Trump sent them to the Capitol, you know. You know, just like, like you were making the point, you know, just the difference in treatment and knowing that even if we are compliant, if we are, I come in peace, they still don't give a damn how we come. As long as we come black, that's the ingredient.
That's the problem.
I just wanted to know, I ain't coming in peace, but I'm coming.
No doubt. I was just using that as an example.
With me, you're going to get the energy that you give me. Whatever energy you're giving me, that's the energy that I am definitely going to return in space.
You know.
That's where I'm at. Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm,
no,
I'm
unfortunately,
right
we can't,
that's
we can't
where
come
I'm
in
at
peace
with it
no
too.
More. Yeah, yeah.
That shit don't work, man. I don't know what peace feels like either. I don't know what freedom feels like. I don't know what liberty feels like. I don't know what peace feels. I don't know what none of that shit feels like.
What equality feels like.
Oh, shit.
None of that, right?
None of it.
None of that. None of that. You know, to know that my women are safe, I don't know what that feels like.
Children.
To know that my nephew is safe, I don't know what that feels like. Just to know that I'm safe.
Right.
But the problem is that as a youngster, I practice to be a predator. So I'm sorry if I'm good at it, because I am. I am. I worked in a butcher shop, so chopping a motherfucker up don't mean shit to me. Pigs gotta eat too. All pigs matter, okay?
Yeah, the two legs ones and the four legs.
We need to get on a consensus to want to be really be free, not to be equal, because I'm like, what are you being equal to? Shit, them white folks is under the same thing. They just don't know it. Or they don't care, but they're under the same slavery. They just
they to be equal
like
too.
Thinking that, you know, it ain't designed for them. Yeah, it is designed for you. We're all debt slaves. We're all indebted for a debt that ain't even ours.
Yeah.
It's not our debt.
Got that right.
You know,
getting bigger.
You can't make me feel second class, but you taking my money with your first class hand. Before my second class hand can even touch it.
Touch it, right.
Yeah, I got
a lot of good points.
No, no, actually, I feel, and I thank you for that, but no, I feel like really I'm just exposing the mental health crisis a little bit more that we're all experiencing.
Yeah, and we all definitely are experiencing it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's purposeful. It's purposeful. This isn't like, you know, this is why I really would love to see what this world would do if a meteor was coming. I wonder how much of the dumb shit that we prioritize would still be a priority if we knew that we were all going to be incinerated.
Yeah.
It would put a lot of shit into perspective. I know that.
Most definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, you might might see a different look.
Oh, definitely.
Or more chaos.
What are we going to do? No, that's the question they would ask. Well, what are we going to do? And I would love to be able to look at them with a smile and just say, we're going to burn. Do you still hate niggas?
Right, right. And Mars ain't gonna work either, you know.
Mars ain't
they
even
get away planets. Exactly.
It ain't even an option, yeah, man. It's much closer to the sun, and if they burning up in this motherfucker, they're definitely going to cook on Mars.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Unless they want to walk around in spacesuits all the time. That's going to make going to the bathroom real hard.
Well, right.
Yeah, yeah. I almost said something, but I'm going to leave that one alone. But, yeah, it definitely, they think they're going to get away from the annihilation.
No, running towards you just the destruction because karma always makes its rounds. You can't go out here and destroy a whole fucking world and think there's no karma coming to deal with you.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Everything that you put out there has got to come back. That's why
yeah.
I love watching them, you know, God bless America and God bless these United States. And I'm like, what God would bless this bullshit? El
yeah.
Diablo. That's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's they got.
That's the only woman.
Yep, you got that right.
Yeah, so that's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Because how could God bless a place where children get raped and women get, assaulted and men get murdered just for, being black or whatever or Hispanic or whatever, the case is where a whole land is being invaded for an ideology, not because they need anything from it. You know?
Right.
And all that is a form of enslavement on those who lose. That's all it is. It's a form of enslavement. It's not helpful to nobody. Nobody's really benefiting. And you're not doing it to make it better. You're doing it to control resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they doing it and really are going, they really are pushing the limits because they are bombing malls and all types of civilian buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's war, and like they say, war is hell, just like being a minority in America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another form of hell.
Yep, hell on earth. I'm sure y'all heard that from folks or heard somebody say that before because that's what it seems like right now. Or that we're headed towards that way.
Yeah, well, I want to create a situation where people can just live. I don't want them to have to struggle to survive when you can live. It's what this whole experiment should have been about from the gate, and it wasn't.
Okay.
Remember, they started this shit because they wanted to be free. But in order for them to be free, they murdered people, they enslaved people, they did all of these things under the guise of being Christian and all this other shit. You know? There was a time when they didn't want them to have the Bible, and then they realized that if we don't give them the Bible, they're going to come up in here and kill us.
Right.
And that Bible was enough to keep people from doing it, and that's the crazy shit about that one, because I'm bothered with even that. The fuck is wrong with us that we're willing to get beat up but not fight back? And accept anything that they're throwing at us, and then you talk about we can't do this. You motherfuckers made y'all printed $20 trillion in 2.5 years. So what is it that you can't do?
Right.
That's the reason the economy is headed towards the crash that it's headed towards right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When it takes $80 to fill up a Volkswagen Bug. When it takes $80 to fill up a Volkswagen Beetle, people need to start looking at who they've been picking to lead them the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah, ain't shit, Joe.
We are in trouble.
And in hiding Harris.
Yeah.
And they not even worried about trouble. It. So, right, they not even concerned about the situation.
For those that want to know what the Great Depression feels like,
oh, it's coming.
Go get some groceries.
Here we are. Yep, here we are.
Go get some groceries.
Yep.
Yeah, you just spend $100 and just put it in a hand basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we're in trouble, and the thing is we're busy tripping on all of the wrong shit. All of the wrong shit. Our planet is on fire, losing oxygen and everything else, but we ain't worried about that.
Yeah.
More than enough food to feed everybody, but everybody ain't eating. I'm looking at my city, Albuquerque. Rather than help people not be homeless, you'd rather just say Albuquerque's basically a big campground now, creating what they call the safe outdoor space bill. And I'm like, you motherfuckers just keep playing with us like we just ain't got no damn sense.
Wow.
The safe outdoor space bill, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And otherwise legalizing homelessness.
Homelessness,
To an extent, what they're saying is it's okay for you to get evicted and have nowhere for you and your children to go. You can get you a tent, and you can go and find you a spot in a park. And you can, you know, manifest destiny, I guess, kind of like when America first started. We're new age settlers with no native help, no nothing. Just, you know, if you happen to fall on hard times, well, you can go live in a park.
In a tent. Wow.
Goddamn America.
Yep.
Hey. Yeah, wow. Goddamn America. Boy, I tell you, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And we crazy as hell for still being here.
Yeah.
We should have did a Bob Marley on this shit and did an Exodus a long time ago and left them motherfuckers to have it. And I still think we need to do that shit. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody going to do it the way they want to do it. You know, everybody going to do it the way they want to do it. And that's what America swears that it stands by, freedom of choice. I haven't been given too many choices. My choices have been limited from the time I took a breath.
Wow.
That's bothersome for me because all my people is in the same boat.
Yeah.
In the same damn boat. And what sucks is that boat ain't headed nowhere. It's just docked. It ain't going no damn where. It's anchored. It ain't going no damn where.
Sure is.
Because nobody wanted to learn how to drive the boat or navigate the boat or where we was going, nothing. We just basically have accepted everything they handed us like we got something and we didn't get shit. We got scraps.
And crumbs.
Yep, an anti-lynching bill. Bullshit scraps. Not good for nothing. Juneteenth holiday.
Ain't stopping nobody from getting hung. Nothing. It ain't stopping nobody from getting hung. You know,
just stop that young 13-year-old earlier,
brother. What I was telling you earlier, brother, I found out why they were so mad. I didn't realize when I wrote Black Holidays Matter on that thing that it was in permanent marker. They can't get it off.
Well, yeah, get another machine.
Right.
Hey, buck that shit out. Work it out. I wish I had wrote it bigger now. I wish I had wrote it bigger, because if I'd have known it was going to make them that mad, then I'd have got a plane to fly by every day real loud with a banner saying that shit.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's, got maybe that's the weapon we need, permanent magic markers to write down how we feel so that way it never goes away, kind of like them Robert E. Lee monuments and shit. But I'm going to sign off as an angry black man. I appreciate y'all letting me vent with y'all tonight.
Oh, yeah, you good, brother. Anytime. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Sister Tamisha, also co-hosting with me. I enjoy this dialogue, and I know that there are solutions, and I think that, you know, a lot of gems would drop tonight.
Definitely.
On the direction that we need to go, as far as, like I've been saying the last few weeks, doing things that are long-term beneficial for us, and stop just accepting the short-term fixes that this system provides, because we deserve better days. Like Brother Kevin was saying, we deserve to live, you know, and we do deserve to live, you know, and be able to thrive in life without interruption, without fear, without danger. And we owe it to our children to give them that benefit, to give them that foundation. We have to, like I was saying earlier as well, get back to that village that we were raised under, where we took care of one another, we cared for one another, we made sure that, you know, that family that might not have had enough, you know, where we went out of our way to actually check on people and make sure that they were breathing. You know, we took time to be there for one another. We recognized the need. And like I always say, we need each other right now more than ever. And the movement ain't about no organization. The movement is about the black movement. Like I say, that's my title for it, because it's got to be black first. And if it's not black first, well, it's nothing first, because we've got to become more concerned about our well-being, our treatment, our children's well-being and their treatment. And with that being said, like I always say, let me thank all my callers. I also want to thank those who may have listened online, those who listened overseas. I appreciate y'all. Without y'all, you know, it wouldn't happen. I will be back on next Monday. I'm working on bringing Brother Rakim's people back on, and I may do a special show if I can make that happen by the end of the week. But nonetheless, this has been the Panther Party Radio Network, and this has been The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr., and I appreciate y'all once again for listening. Once again, appreciate my call-in guests for helping the dialogue flow. And if you're going to do anything this week, let's do something that is going to be beneficial, not for you, but for the kids. And not only that, take some time out to reach out to some of these kids. Like I said, we're going to need them more than they're going to need us. With that being said, like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key. I'm out. Peace, power, love.
on the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are alive. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from men? Can't you stand?